One of these days we're going to be walking on the streets of gold. And walking on the streets of gold reminded me, really came to my mind about titling these bricks, because years ago in Waycross, Georgia, I don't know about other cities, I know Savannah, there was a lot of streets, and they was pure old bricks. Do anybody remember the brick streets in Waycross? I don't know if they still got them now or they covered over. Have they still got any now? Joe, they still any bricks over there around that motel? But they were just bricks. Bricks of the road that was just pure old bricks. And one of these days, you know, these golden bricks of salvation is going to open up, that we'll be walking on the streets of gold. And God has given us so many bricks, you know, to build this life on, and these golden bricks of salvation as we read this Bible. And as we try to understand it, but a lot of times it just seems like it's just not real to us. But God's golden bricks is better to understand it if we just see what God has given us in this salvation, all the aspects of it, and these golden bricks. And just thank you, Lord, for the Bible. I just thank the Lord for the Bible. As you look at this world today, and people don't have the Word of God, and people's not saved without the Word of God, man, I'm just glad I'm not in this world without salvation, without the Word of God. The Bible's Word of God, it's great, and we want to thank the Lord for this. Psalm 125 says, I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. And verses 135, make thy face to shine upon thy servant and teach me thy statutes. Let us slow the Lord in prayer again. Father, the precious word as we just read these verses of scriptures. Father, and the psalmist was at a point in his life that he was just knowing he was a servant. And he knew they could not have the understanding unless, Father, you gave him the understanding by revelation. And Father, this night, this hour, as children of God, we still cannot have the understanding unless, Father, it's by your illuminating of the Word of God and by the Spirit of God that we may understand. So, Father, he asked for this, and then he said to teach thy servant, Father, thy understanding and thy statutes, thy ways and the laws that you'd have us to go. So, Father, as humble as we know how to be as we meet here this night, God, we just want to ask you to help us to understand and help us, oh, Father, to get the meaning out of your word and your testimony, God, that you'd have for each and every one of us in our life. And again, thank you, Lord, for the blessing upon each one of us this day. And we thank you this night in the precious and the holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Y'all remember whenever Moses was at the burning bush, and he saw that bush burning, and it was not consumed. Well, that's exactly what he said, I'm going to do. I'm going to turn aside and see this bush and see why it's not consumed. And out of that burning bush, he said the Lord spoke to him. And you see this Bible here, as I said before us this hour, it's like that burning bush. Every one of us approach the Word of God just like Moses approached that Word of God, is that burning bush. The great difference they are in the regular bushes, and that bush was on fire, and the difference was that God was in it. And you know the difference in this Word of God than all of the books, because it's of God. There's difference. And God spoke Moses out of the burning bush, as God will speak to us. Out of this Bible comes the flame of the fire. And the Lord on Mount Sinai, the Lord showed himself to Moses on Mount Sinai and made himself real to Moses. And he said, we must sanctify ourselves. Wash our garments, he said to Joshua, and be ready to hear the Word of God. Out of this book, it tells us and helps us understand the truth. And I had five golden bricks of truth and five golden bricks of trust, but I looked at the time that took me to look all this up, and I said, we won't ever be able to get all this 10 in, so we're just going to take five of them tonight. And that's the five golden bricks of truth. And these two psalms that I read, we start asking God for this understanding, the truth. The five ways I'm fixing to tell you here this hour to understand the word of truth. And this word of truth is the bricks that we grow on. Now, we know the source of truth that leads us to gladness. Gladness leads us to victory. Victory leads us to growth. Growth leads us to power. And power leads us to guidance in the Word of God. That is very, very, very important to us on our daily life. As we march through this little life that God has allowed us to live, upon this little world that God has created and allow mankind to walk upon. He did not leave us in this world alone, but He gave us the Word of God and the Spirit of God might lead us and guide us. We know that this world is a very dark world. It said that Jesus Christ came into this world. He is a light of this world and coming to a dark world. And you and I are living in a very dark world. And we need to understand the Word of God. Why? Understand the Word of God? Because the Word of God is the only truth. It's the only truth. And without the Bible, we'll just be stumbling around in the dark. It's the only word of truth. Pilate asked Jesus Christ, what is truth? Jesus said, John 17:17, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. And then he says, thy word is truth. Jesus Christ says to Pilate. Now Psalm 119:30 says, as we look at these different verses in 119, I have chose the way of truth. Thy judgment have I laid before me. He has chose the way of truth. He has chose the Word of God. Now, do you know if you'll choose the way of truth, you'll be choosing the Word of God. And without the Word of God, you will not choose the way of truth. This is our leadership this hour. Now, facts and knowledge, they're going to double and triple and triple and double and double and triple and triple. But truth never changes. It never doubles. It never changes. And there's nothing new if you call it the truth, because it's always truth. It's not new. In the United States, I was reading some statistics on things that's new, and I was reading where they publish 3,000 pages of stuff each second. 1,000 books are wrote in the United States every day. 1,000 books. 3,000 pages of stuff a second is being added to our knowledge and added to the facts in our country. Knowledge and facts going to accumulate. They're going to grow. And we're living, and I believe the reason, because Daniel said, knowledge shall increase in the last days. Men will rush to and fro. And I just believe that we're living in the last days. It tells us about the knowledge and about the facts of the last days and how they shall increase. And I was reading again about the knowledge, and I read down through history. If we could put knowledge up on a graph, and they had a graph that they put it on, you know, these graphs. And from the very start of human history until 1845, if you could put this on a graph on a scale, it would only be moved, knowledge would only be moved 1 inch from all the years of history of mankind. And then from 1845 until 1945, 100 years, it would be moved, knowledge in fact would be moved 3 inches on that graph. Three times as much as all of human history that they knew about. But then from 1945 until today, on that graph, that line would be as long as tall as a Washington Monument about knowledge and facts increasing the day that we live. Yes, Daniel said, in these last days, knowledge shall increase. But you understand, he did not say truth shall increase. Because truth do not increase, it stays the same. It's always the truth. Yes, Daniel, knowledge. Look at the transportation, the day, how that you can go around the world in just a little while. And the communication that we have, telephones, they claim you'll be able to see the people that you're talking to before long. Look in the area of medicine and the research they have. I thank the Lord for all the technology they give to help these old bodies out. they got so many artificial, they got artificial hearts and the artificial bones, and they got all type of artificial things they're coming out with, artificial skin. Just the knowledge is increasing in the medical field so rapid. And thank the Lord they have this. They claim they have some food now they're experimenting with that be non-digestible. That means you can eat all you want to and not get fat. I don't know what else they're going to come out with. There's no telling. It just keeps on. But you know what? We still, with all this knowledge and all these facts, we still have more crime, more suicide, more mental health, more broken homes, more drug abuse, more homosexuality, more abortion, more difficulties, more war than they ever been before in human history. Why? Listen to me. Because we're learning about facts and knowledge and not the truth. Not the truth. We know all about facts and all about knowledge, but not the truth. And that is the Word of God. And one of my favorite verses of Scripture, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, about the Word of God. Only one source of truth, and that is the Word of God, is these five bricks of truth as they begin to unfold for us tonight. The source of truth leads us to the source of gladness, because truth will give you joy. Now, you can have a lot of happiness from time to time. Even people that's lost have happiness and have happy days and because of the circumstance, but they will change. But you see, truth leads you to a source of gladness and a source of joy. In Psalm 119:54, it says, thy statute have been my song in the house of my pilgrimage. Thy song. You see, this is a song book. The laws also that God said is for our welfare, but this is a song book. Thou shalt not, it means don't hurt yourself. And it says, thou shalt, it means help yourself to happiness. Because, you see, the source of gladness is the Word of God. Luke 11:28 also says, but he, that's Jesus Christ, said, ye rather blessed are they that hear the Word of God and keep it. Blessed, happy are the people that hear the Word of God and keep it. That's where gladness comes from. John said, these things write I unto you that your joy may be full. God wants you to have joy. He has given us a book and understanding. Is there any doubt in your mind if we would follow the teaching of the Word of God that you'd be happier than you are right now if you stick closer to the Word of God? Has anybody got any doubt of that tonight? If we would follow the Word of God closer than what we are right now, you have any doubt that you'd be happier? Any doubt that you have more joy and gladness than you have right now? I guarantee you by the Word of God, if we would follow this closer, the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God in our life, the way we should live the life God has showed us, that we'd have more joy, more gladness than we ever had or knew before. That's God's intention for us, to have this gladness and these things in our life. And of course, joy is not in things. It's not in knowledge. It's not in facts, but it's in truth. And the source of the truth is the Word of God. And it leads us to gladness. But the second thing is this gladness, it leads us to victory. Psalm 119:45, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Are you walking in liberty today? Are you walking in liberty today? Are we in bondage? Even Christian people get back into bondage, not the bondage of loss of salvation, but the bondage a lot of times of fear of things. A lot of times the bondage of doubt. You know, a lot of times the bondage of covenant, wanting something of someone else have. A lot of the bondage of resentment. Or our attitude. But you see, you could say, thank the Lord that I am free tonight. Are you free tonight of all these bondages? It's by the Word of God. Ephesians 6:17 says, man, I spent some time on this, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, that's where we have this release from this bondage, is by the Word of God, because in warfare, as it said, take the helmet of salvation. It's all about warfare. That's our daily battles that we're in a battleground. You know, the Christian life is not a playground. It's a battleground. As we think about this now, the word sword. The word sword there is not a word for a long sword like we see on cavalry, back in the cowboys and Indians and the cavalry, you know, these old long swords they had. That's not the word that the Holy Spirit used to pen this word as a long sword, but it means a dagger, a little short dagger. Now, the short dagger is something you might hide in your coat. And why it says dagger, not a long sword that you hit people with or slice people with, is this dagger. But you could hide this because it means if somebody jumps on you, you know, you could pull this dagger out and fix his wagon. And they don't see the big old sword. But now it means there's something in this word that says that sword. Look what it says again. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. That's something that we might hide. That's something we might hide in my heart. Now, I got the Word of God. I got it hid in my heart. Now, what did the Bible say? That we might take the Word of God, hide in the heart, that we might sin against thee? Hide in our heart. The sword of the Spirit. Now, that Word of God, as you say, is something that was hid and something we might be able to use if somebody jumps onto us in warfare. You know what that is, old devil? We have the sword of the Spirit. Now, it also says there in that verse of Scripture, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, that's a different word there for the Word of God. Now, this Word of God does not mean the whole Bible here. It's a different word used in the Greek as I looked this up. It don't mean the whole Bible when it says the Word of God. When I say the Word of God, a lot of time I refer to the whole Bible. Remember, man cannot live by bread alone, but every word, that means out of every word, out of the Word of God. This is the mouth of God right here. And this is the whole Bible. This is a different word that he uses here because it means a word out of thy word. And Jesus Christ used that same word in the Greek language about that word of God. It's not the whole Bible, but a word from the word. You know, when Adam was in the garden and you know what, he doubted God's word and you know what, he sinned and down he come. But the last Adam, you know, when the devil came to him in the wilderness, what did he say? It is written. Every time that devil come and jumped onto him, the Lord used that word as a dagger. That means he took that short sword. Every time the devil come to him, it is written. He took a word from the word. And as the devil jumps on us, you can have victory because of the word of the word. You take the word of God, a word from the word. There's a special place there, this dagger. Jesus Christ didn't just hold the Bible up. He just took a word from the word. You know, you walk at liberty when you take a word from the word, the source of victory. The source of truth leads to gladness and leads to victory, and then it leads to growth. You need to grow. The same psalmist in verse 32. I will run the way of thy commandments, then thou shalt enlarge my heart. I will run the way of thy commandments, then thou shalt enlarge my heart. That means, are you growing? I turn to your commandments and I walk and run in the way of your commandments and then enlarge my heart. That means, are you growing? Is your heart enlarging? You ever had boiled? I'll tell you what, that lady's got a big heart. Huh? You ever heard that statement? Boy, that man, that person, that child, that person, they got a big heart. You ever heard that? All right. That's where it comes from. Right here. Right here where it comes from. This psalmist says, you know, that I might have a big heart. Do you have a bigger heart now for the things of God and the people of God? Will enlarge your heart? No way you can grow apart from the Word of God. There's no way anybody can grow apart from the Word of God. Someone asked Billy Graham, he had his life to live over. And old Billy Graham, I think we could all use him for an example. What would you change in your life if you had your life to live over? No, Billy Graham, he says, you know, one thing I'd change, I'd read the Bible more. I'd read the Bible more. Now, ain't that simple? I'd read the Bible more. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2 and 2 says, as newborn babes desiring to send milk of the word that we may grow thereby. We might grow thereby. Angie's holding that little dear grandchild in her arms tonight. Not too long ago, coming into this world. A lot of you had some grandkids and kids, and y'all remember back when they come into this world. And I don't know what you've done. You got that baby home. You might have fixed up that room. You might have fixed up that bassinet. You might have fixed up the windows. You might have painted the room. You might have put new wallpaper up. But you know what? That baby didn't interest that bit in the world. It didn't impress that baby not one bit about how you fixed up that room. That rascal wanted some milk. Y'all know that? Himself, he didn't care about the room. He wanted the milk. Or he may grow. Or she may grow. Well, the same thing. You know what it says there about people saved? If you save, you know what? You'll have a desire for the Word of God. Because the Holy Spirit's not going to stay neutral in that heart. They're going to call you to do something. You have that desire? You know, that's one thing that I pray when I got saved. God, give me more desire to read the Word of God. Give me a desire. I pray that a million times, I reckon, God. Give me more desire to read the Word of God. I've always had a desire to do that. I never did read it enough. I don't read like I should. I can assure you of that. I used to read it more than I do now. That's a shame. But you see, the Word of God, that little baby. Now, we don't bring home a little baby and just put it out on the back porch. We nourish it. We put it in a warm place. We give it milk or give it everything it needs to grow. It's the same thing about a child of God when they first get saved. If they're going to leave off the Word of God and they're going to leave off the house of God and the people of God, it's going to be just like a child to bring home. And you put it on the back porch. And every once in a while, about once a week or every once a month or every 3 months, you'll go out there and you stick a bottle in its mouth. Now, that wouldn't be normal, would it? It will not be normal. That child will not grow. It wouldn't even live. The same thing is true here for a child of God. You cannot grow without the milk of the Word of God. And how you use the milk of the Word of God is how you grow. I'm going to tell you the source of growth. It comes from the truth and gladness and victory. And you know what growth leads us to? It leads us to power as you grow. Are you stronger? Have you grown since you've been saved? And every one of you have. Are you stronger tonight than you were when you first got saved? I assure you, you are. Because that's what it leads to. It leads to power. Same chapter, 119:25 says, "My soul cleaveth unto thy dust. Quickest thou me according to thy word." It means I'm down in the dust. I had some problems. I'm down in the dust. I'm down in the dumps. I'm down in the dumps. Man asked me one time, "When you get down in the dumps, I'll be, where do you go?" I said, "I go buy me a new tie." He said, "I wonder where you got them from." You'll get it in a minute. Getting down in the dumps? Anybody ever been down in the dumps? That's what this psalmist said here. In verse 28, the psalmist said, "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word." You ever been down and you read the Word of God and it gives you power and strength to keep going? This problem gets you down, and you read the Word of God and you begin able to start turning this over to the Word of God, and it says, "I was just dissolved. I was just melting down. The problem is just dissolving." You ever had a problem so big it just felt like it was just bringing you down? You know which way to come? "My soul melts for heaviness," he said. He melts for it. Things will be easy when we learn how to use this Word of God. The Word of God gets into you. In Hebrews 4:12 said, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, pierced even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." And that word "quick" there means alive. I had a good time with this too. I said, I got to find out more about that. And that word, word "quick" is where we get our word from zoology in the Greek. Where we get our words, I say, well, I can't understand that. Well, "quick" means alive. You ever been to the zoo down in Jacksonville or any other zoo? You go in the zoo, you know it, and you hear the birds are hollering, the old birds are hollering, and you hear the animals are roaring and all kind of commotion going on. Monkeys are squealing and everything else. They call it a zoo. Why? That means life, alive. So that makes more sense to me. And that's where we get our word "energy" from. full of life and energy. You go into a zoo and, man, the birds are flying everywhere and the monkeys are hollering, the lions are roaring. All this different noise going on, it means life, it means energy. So that word said it quickened. What did he do to you whenever the word of God quickened your heart? It means you was dead in trespass and sin, and he quickened you. What did he do? He brought you back to life and energy. Because you was dead. You know, a dead person don't have any energy, and a dead person don't have any life. Ain't that right? So he brought us back. And it's talking about the word of God. Now listen, we can read all of the books. This is the only book that reads you. It's the only book that reads you. Isn't it different? Isn't it different? This book reads us and it gives you power. You get into the book and you know what happens? The book gets into you. You get into the Word, and the Word gets into you, and therefore where it comes that power at. Remember, all these bricks now, you keep building on the gladness and victory and growth and power. It's all that comes to that Word of God. As you read this Word of God, it gets in you and gives you strength. And then as we hurry along, the fifth one here is a source of guidance. Buddy, do we ever need that in our country right now? Do we ever need that in our life and our families today? Is guidance. And the reason we don't have the guidance is because we've got away from the truth. And there's no guidance without the truth of the Word of God. There's no light. The Word of God is a light, a lamp unto my feet. And that's where it gives us guidance from. Most people want to know the will of God. I want to know, it gives us guidance. What's the will of God for my life? This is one of my favorite verses of scriptures. Psalm 119, 105. The Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I first done some research on that, and I read that word lamp to my feet, you know, and that didn't make much sense to me. And I know I've told you several times as I dug out this word of God, this gold nugget, and it says that word of God is a lamp. It didn't say the word of God is a flashlight. It didn't say the word of God is a spotlight. It says a lamp. Any of you old timers in here ever had a lamp to go out in the yard with at night? A lamp. Now, we got spotlights now and flashlights, and they shine on back of the field wheel. Now, you can see them everywhere you want to go to, but they used to didn't have that, did they? They had lamps, if you was lucky. And then you go out, have to go outside, and you had to hold one up, you know, we'll see where you're going. Because you know what happened? It only shined at about 6 foot out there. You know what's out there? Black, dark, you can't see nothing. But you know, every time that you took a step, you know what happened? It kept lighting another step. It kept lighting another step. It kept lighting another step. You could never get ahead of it. It's always just about 6 foot ahead of you. It lighted another step. It lighted another step. It lighted another step. That's the reason it said the Word of God is a lamp. I'm not going to show you out there back in the field. Ain't no spotlight. I'll show you the next step. If you'll take one step, I'll show you another step in the will of God. Now, we want to know what's way down the road, but I don't know what's way down the road. I wouldn't like it probably. But way down the road, but he said, I'll show you step by step the will of God. What is the will of God? To start with, the will of God for you and your family is, he says, I'm not willing that any should perish, you and your family. That's the first step of the will of God. I'm not willing that any should perish. You and all your family and all your friends and all your neighbors, I want to be saved. I'm not willing that any should perish. But I'm going to tell you that he wants to save you. That is salvation. That is the first step. And then it says, you know, the will of God, even for your sanctification. Then after you're saved, you know what? He wants us to live a clean and a pure life by sanctification. That's called apart. And the third thing it says, you know, in Ephesians, be ye filled with the Spirit of God. Will of God. Simple. Salvation, sanctification, filled with the Spirit. And that carries us through the guidance. That's the will of God. And if we would do these five steps, if I would do these five steps, if you would do these five steps, the will of God for your life and my life would be like a guided missile. Buddy, when it left that foundation, it will hit the target. And no matter which way or whatever blows by it, it'll still hit the target. And I'm going to tell you, that's the will of God for your life and my life. And this word of God will help us. And he will make each one of us be a missile that will hit the point where God intends for us to hit. And all it is just the truth of the word of God. And you know, you don't get this going off for seminars or education or whatever. All that helps. But all it is just for a willing mind to ask God to help us. Thank the Lord for all the education that people get to help us with the Word of God. But you see, all it takes is a willful mind. God, show me and help me. And he will. And you'll be amazed what the Word of God will do. Don't you love to spend time in the Word of God? Some quiet time. Oh, I love to get in there in the Word of God. I had a good time today. About 6 hours, I imagine. I had a good time. Thank you, Lord. Just the Word of God. It'll help you so much. And I'd be a lot more if I would just do what I know. If I would just hold that lamp up, he said, you just keep walking. Just hold that lamp up, I'll just keep showing you. You want to have this gladness and this victory and this growth and this power and the guidance? Just the Word of God. Oh, God bless you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know how to end this. It's so good. Just thank you. We're running a little out of time, and if anybody would like to come pray this hour, you can. But if not, we just want to stand up and be dismissed. If you don't mind standing this hour. Thank you for being here this night. Ask somebody.